It's the Spirit. And when you feel that, it doesn't come and go. He comes to stay. And he's with us. So this feeling the Spirit is amazing. When we're at the position now with the church that God's been building up an amazing thing for us. When the Spirit of God takes his time and comes with us and stays and just ministers to our hearts and ministers to our spirits and ministers to us, it's for an amazing reason. God doesn't do anything half-heartedly. It's amazing what God's going to do. And I know that as you guys have been seeing through your spirit eyes, you see it also. And you know things. And you've seen these things that God is doing. And God is doing it through you and with us and through us. And the message, I actually had a different message that was a couple of weeks ago, but the Lord changed it earlier this week, and I can see why. And today it's going to be about calling upon the Lord, calling on Him. When we call upon the Lord, you know, that's before Jesus, before Moses, before Noah, way back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they knew God as the Creator. They knew God as the Creator. They saw what He did. They saw what He created. They had Abel and Cain. And you know the story, remember the story when Cain killed Abel and there was all havoc wreaked and Cain got run off to another area. Well, they said that, I don't know how many years, but they said that Cain's family and his descendants, they got real skilled in mechanical things and in farming and doing things. And they got real skilled in doing what they were doing. Then Adam and Eve, again in Genesis chapter 4, verse 25, says that to Seth, Adam and Eve once again had a son named Seth. He knew his wife and he bare a son and he called him Seth. And for God, he said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And in verse 26, it says, and to Seth also a son was born, whose name was Enoch, which means mortal man, just mankind. And then for the first time, it says, and then man began to call upon the Lord. And that was the first time I can find it in the Bible where man began to call upon the Lord. And I started looking back, and there was a difference because the people of the world at that time, they knew of all the different families. They knew God as being a creator. But this Seth was the first time where he organized a group, his family, got them together, and they called upon the Lord. And the people looked at him, and they said, see those guys, that family over there? Those guys call upon the Lord. And that was the first time where it was through worship and through praise that they called upon the Lord. They cried out upon Him. They yearned for Him. They sought Him. They looked at Him. See, the first people that knew God were not called Jews. They weren't called the Hebrews either. The first people that knew God were called those guys that call upon the Lord. That's what separated them. That's what separated them. Say, who are you? Oh, I'm part of the guys who called upon the Lord. Wow. Oh. And that's whenever they refer to them. Calling means to cry out, to pour, to be able to look up and say, Lord, I need you. I want you. I want to be part of you. I miss you. I want to be with you. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5, He says, for I taught you all the ways of the Lord. I taught you my God. I taught you what to do. Obey them in the land that you're about to go into. Obey them faithfully, and this will show that all the people that you are wise and that you hear the laws that God, that wisdom and understanding is with you, this great nation. And then he said something really profound. Remember, this is the guy that left the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh and his people, they had all kinds of chariots and horses and weapons and artillery, and they had everything just made, and they were able to conquer the world if they could. They had all of that. They had many gods that they called upon. But Moses says, verse 7, no other nation, no matter how great, has a God so near to them as the Lord our God is to us. For when we call upon him, he answers. He's in all things. Now take a bite of that and chew it for a little bit. Because we're talking about God the Creator. This is where he's no longer just God the Creator. Many people on this earth, on many people in this nation, believe in God. We got our money. We believe in God. In God we trust. And they believe in God as being the Creator. They believe that God's the Creator. Yes, he made this. I know he's the big guy upstairs. He's the man. And they believe in God. But there's an elect few who know God as the Lord, and they call upon him. And they say, Lord, I need you. And we recognize what our need is of God. We recognize the sin that we have, that we are in. They recognize the frailty of us. We recognize that we need the Son and what he did on that cross and died for our sins. We recognize that we need that forgiveness to get into the kingdom of God. We recognize that we need that forgiveness to get in tight with God and to be able to call God our Lord and Savior, and we call upon him. Now, this calling is very important, because it's more than just saying, I know that God is there and he's there, and I got him as plan B in my back pocket. If everything push comes to shove, I can say, whoa, Lord, I need you. That's not what he's talking about, and that's what I'm trying to bring out in the Word, and that's what the Holy Spirit wants to pour into you, because the times that we have been calling on him are our times of need, and that's good. That's okay. What I'm trying to do is make a transformation, a paradigm shift, if you will. Just make it something totally different of our understanding, that when we call upon the Lord in the time that we are doing well, that's a blessing for him. He calls us. He calls us and he says, I want you. I want to be part of your life. Not just when you need me, not just when you tried everything else. He goes, I want you. I want to work with you every moment of the day, every moment of the time. It's not only when we need him, we're down on our luck and we need him, and oh Lord, please forgive me, help me. That's okay. That's good to call upon the Lord, but I'm talking way before that. I'm talking when we wake up, when we've got the best job we've had in a long time, when we're able to have a feast on the table, when we're able to drive and be comfortable, and God bless, we're doing good. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. I still need you, Father. Because no matter what I can do, it's still not enough without you, my God. And when we can see that and recognize it and take it and bite it and hold it, I'm trying to impair just a total paradigm shift of what different of what we've been taught. I was raised where my dad, I can still hear my dad would tell me, now we're going to go to your grandma's and grandpa's house, but don't you be asking for anything. Because we're going over there. I don't want you asking for anything. Don't be asking for cookies or candy or anything. And most of the time I go to dad and say, Dad, I need a pair of shoes. Okay, I got it. Click. I go the next day. Hey, Dad, I need a... don't be asking me. I already told you. We grew up in a very poor family, and now I understand as a father, it probably broke his heart when he wasn't able to supply the needs. But he would always tell me, don't be asking. That's you're like a beggar. Don't be asking. And that poured in my heart, and that poured in my mind, and even to this day, I have trouble asking. I mean, just last week we're doing some stuff, and I'm carrying a shovel and a hoe, and I'm carrying all this stuff in the water. And Blanca goes, "You need some help?" "No, I got it. I'm okay. I can do this." And she looks at me, and the wife smiles. She gives that smile like, "Come on." I said, "Okay, yes, I really could use some help. It would make life easier." And there's that love and trust. And I finally got to the point after 36 years of marriage that I can say, okay, babe, you can help me with this, but I got the rest. And we'll go, but it's a level of trust. It's the level of saying, I think you're not going to get after me, and I think you love me enough where you really mean it, and you really, really do want to help me. And it's that kind of trust that we need to develop with God our Father, God our Creator. You know how much He loves you. He knows what you're doing, what you're going through. His heart's breaking. He desires. He yearns. He said, come on, let me help you. Ask of me what you want. You don't have because you don't ask. Please ask of me. We're not bothering Him. That's a lie from the enemy. That's a lie from the enemy that people have put in our mind saying, well, you're going to bother God. Look how busy He is. Look at this world He's got going. We got a big enough God to handle that. And so He stopped and He asked us, come on, ask me, ask me, ask me, reach out to me. And that shows trust and it shows humbleness. It shows humbleness because we got to say, Lord, I do need you. And it gets from the point where it says, I got it. I'm tough enough. I can do this. I'm from Texas. I can handle it. Okay, sorry, Georgia guys. That's a lie because all that's not true. We need God and we can and He wants to be part of it. I mean, salvation itself cannot be done, cannot even be ours until we ask. Paul told other people in the book of Acts, he goes, salvation comes to all those who call upon the Lord shall be saved. In Acts, he wrote that out. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. That's how important this is. That's how important the vital key of calling on the Lord. Now, let me take it a step further. When we as a church, together, a body, call on the Lord, how much more attention does He give? When now this is His bride, for His child, He will listen to you individually. And as we come together with all of His children together and we call upon the Lord and we say, Lord, we need your help. We're tired of playing church. Yes, we've done church pretty good, but now we want to be church. We want to be your hands and your feet. Lord, we need your help. We don't know what we're doing. We need someone to step in. We need your Holy Spirit to step in. We need you, Father, to guide us. And when we can get humble enough to admit it and say it and call upon the Lord, He promised. My God's not a liar. He doesn't tease us. He doesn't say maybe. He promised. I will answer you. I will be there. I will be there. Now, I thank God sometimes when I ask for a cow, He gives me a horse because He knows that's what I needed. I thank God He knows better. But the fact that I've gone to Him and asked Him, Lord, I need you. I need you in this situation. He'll fix it. And you know what's another lie the devil puts in our head? He says, oh, well, God won't always answer the prayers the way you want it. He's not going to answer the prayers the way you want it, so why even ask? I mean, apparently your way is better than God's way. And so you want it your way. Well, you know, when we ask God, we all know that His way is the perfect way, the ultimate way, the best way. The be all you can be slogan of the Marines is the be all you can be. This is the best way, the most optimum way, the best thing that can possibly fall into your laps and fall into your hands and move inside that situation that you're going is God's way. And when we ask Him, Lord, I need you. I think I need this, but Lord, I need you. You, please figure it out and tell me, Father. And every single time we go to Him, every time, 100% of the time, He will answer us. He is there. He does hear us. He is there. He has an ear. He's sitting there waiting. Please ask me. Let me help you. I don't understand all the theological reasons of why God doesn't control us like puppets. But He gives us a will and He lets us do what we do. And until we call out to Him. And when we call out to Him, He's there. But he lets us roll around and try and try and try and try and try. And sometimes he'll intervene. Sometimes he'll send something your way. Hey, call upon God. And he'll remind us. But he still waits until we do that. Until you can humble yourself enough. Until I can humble myself enough to say, yes, I do need the Lord. Yes, my life is better with him. Yes, it is that way. Then we call upon him. And when we call upon him, he will always be there. He will always ask 100% of the time. 100% of the time. The other day I was doing a bonfire, and I had about 3 or 4 logs there, and the wind blew on this side, and that log, the ember just went bright red, and flames came out of it, and it got hot and it got wild. And I said, check that out. And then the wind blew a little bit, turned, and then that one kind of turned off, and this one turned on, and it blew up, and it just bright, shiny. And then the next one, it was windy that day, so every time the wind, wherever the wind would hit and the oxygen would make it, it would flare up. And I was just looking at that amazing. And a dear brother of mine reminded me of a scripture that talks about how that physical, I love when God does something physical to the spirit. He says in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. God is talking to, Paul's telling the Hebrews about how Jesus Christ is higher above the angels. And he talked about the purpose of the angels. And I wish I could have filmed that vision God gave me on that song, because it was a perfect analogy of what he's doing here. And the Word of God says, and again, when he brings, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5, and again, when he brings his firstborn into the world, speaking of Jesus, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. And in speaking of the angels, he says that he makes the angels the wind, and he makes his ministers the flame of fire pouring up. And I love that scripture, because he does it looking at it, and it fit just so perfectly well, because as the winds, as the angels bring it to our attention and remind us and cause us to remember, you know, that's another thing God promises. He says, I will cause you to remember. I will cause you to obey me. And that sounds rough, but that's a beautiful, loving God. So he causes the angels, he sends the angels to come down, and he reminds us, and the winds of fire. The worship, they preached half my sermon already. The winds of fire just blew. And the ministers, it says the ministers are the flames of the fire. Who are the ministers? It's not just the guys up here. It's the guys in every seat, in every believer. You are a minister in your area, in your environment. Fathers, you are a minister to your family. Mothers, you are a minister to your family. Children, you guys are ministers to one another. As we call out to God, and we call out to God in the prayer and in worship, he comes and he answers this. And it's up to the ministers, the flames of fire, to administer that power of the Holy Spirit to their families, to their friends, to their areas. You remember how Jesus said it? He goes, well, how are you going to know us? He goes, they're going to know that you're my disciples. By what? By love, the love you have, by the love in one another. By this they will know that you are my disciples. What greater love than when we can be in a family and I reach out to you and I say, how can I pray for you today? I want to pray for you. Tell me, how can I pray for you? I encourage you guys, when the service is about to start and everybody's mingling and we're telling everybody, you know, hey, how you doing up there and, you know, and everything, ask somebody, at least one person, ask them, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? And as we get in this shift, I'm coming again. God's doing something different with us. He's raising us to glory and glory and higher and higher and hold us more accountable. And as we start praying for one another, As we start praying for one another, that love is just going to blossom out. And it's going to see things happening in our families. Dads, when's the last time you asked your child, how can I pray for you today? And they might come up with some crazy story. Well, there's this kid at school that's really bothering me. And this, you know, you don't have to bother God about that. You know what? Our God is so big and so loving that if it breaks the heart of one of the youngest of his children and it makes their heart bleed and break and it hurts, our God feels it. He feels it and he sees it. And he's actually saying, ask me and I'll help you. Ask me and I'll help you. And the fathers ask their children, how can I help you? And they tell them and they raise it up to, and they call out to the Lord together as a family. And they go out and they call out to God. Do you know what God's going to do? He's been planning on this. He's been waiting on it. He's been so anxious to come. He's seen you squirm and in need. Or he sees you just ready to plan. He knows the future. He knows what's about to happen. He knows that he's going to build you up. And sometimes to build us up, he has to rip some stuff off. And that might hurt. And we might cry a little bit. So he tells you, before I do all that, come on, let's talk. Talk to me. Focus. Look right here. Focus on me. I want to talk to you. You ask me, and I'll bless you because I'm about to do a surgery on you. Focus right here. And God's ready. He's ready. You know how much God loves you? He wants to help us. Where there's no petition so small, something so little that we can't bring to God. There's nothing too big that he can't fix. There's no debt so big that we can't ask for forgiveness and bring it to him and say, Lord, I know I got into this, but I still come to you. And he says, that's okay, let me help you. And he's there. There's confusion. There's fear. There's doubt. There's so many things our human emotions does and so many things that we get ourselves into trouble with. But God is saying, I want to be there for you. I long to be there for you. Please, you're not bothering me. Don't worry about it. Ask me. Nowhere in the Bible does it say quit asking and don't be asking things. Who do you think I am? Santa Claus? What do you think? You know how many lies the enemy throws at us? You know how many lies the enemy throws at us? And we say, oh, Lord, I want this, I need this, I need this, I want this, I want this. God will work it out. He'll give us what we need and what we want and how to build us. He wants us to go to him. He'll work out our childish prayers. He'll work out our silly prayers. He'll work it out. He's big enough. He did not say, get your act together and get your words together and say it just perfectly and then I'll hear you. He said, ask. It's okay to ask. It's okay to understand that God is above us and way above us. And it's okay to ask our Father and to depend upon him. When we pray together as a congregation, we should be praying for each other. You should be praying for your needs. It's okay. God asked us to do that. In fact, it's downright disobedience if we don't humble ourselves and call upon the Lord. That's how it all started. That's how salvation came. He wants you to ask. There's nothing too small, nothing too big. Yes, he might get a chuckle or a grin out of something we say, but that's okay. It's Dad. It's our Father. He loves us. He wants to be part of our life. He wants to be part of our everyday thing. We used to hear people that are praying for their dogs. If it breaks your heart, it breaks God's heart. He's concerned. God loves us. He wants us to take everything to him. He'll deal with it. He'll work it out. He's big enough to fix it. But he wants us, as we pray together as a congregation, we work and we pray for one another. What greater love is there? What greater love is there when we hear the child goes up to mom and dad saying, Dad, what can I pray for? You look a little tense. What can I pray about? I want to help you, Dad. I want to help you, Mom. I'm part of the family. What can I pray for you about? That's an amazing thing. When we can walk to one another and ask, what can I pray for Just throw one thing out. What can I pray for you for? We're always praying for each other in generality, but that love, it just goes one little bit deeper when we say, what can I pray with you about? What can I pray with you about? When we come together as we're praying in a congregation, it's not a spectator sport. It's not something that the guy up here starts praying and everybody goes over real quiet and reverently and waits till he finishes. Not all fall asleep if it gets too long. No, it's a togetherness. As I'm praying, you're praying. As you're praying, she's praying. As she's praying, he's praying. And together we're praying and we're lifting each other up. And every voice is heard. Every voice is heard. Whether you're on your game or whether you're strong or whether you're weak or whether you're feeling good or whether you're not, every voice is being heard because we're praying for each other. We're praying together. This is a new thing that God wants us. It's not a new thing. I know we've all been praying together, and we prayed, and I'm not taking anything away from the individual prayer. There's times that we go into the closet and we pray and just us and God, me and God, and that's it. And that's cool. That's needed. That's great. But what I'm trying to do is take us a step bigger. And let's start praying for each other. Start asking each other. As we close this service in a few seconds, as we close this service, we're gonna. I ask that you find someone and ask them, this week I'm going to pray for you. What can I pray for you? I'm going to try this. And you're going to see that when you humble yourself in the presence of the Lord and call out to him, he will hear you. And when we humble ourselves even more and put myself aside and saying, lift up my brother and say, how can I pray for you? Then even more so, the Lord moves. We're going to see God moving this week. We're going to see him moving these few weeks. And it's just going to be the beginning. It's just the beginning. I mean, I know he's always moving. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is as we follow out and as we pray for one another, it's just going to be an extra, extra level, an extra from glory to glory to glory. It's going to be an extra glory. It's going to be the next one. Let's stand up, please.